This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Welcome to Geek and Sassy. My name is Jennifer Smith. I'm here with the wonderful and beautiful Miranda. Hi, Miranda.
Hi, Jen.
How are you?
I'm here.
Okay.
Does that count as an answer for
no,
how are you?
No, it doesn't at all.
It doesn't?
I'm going to need more.
I'm here. Here.
That means you're terrible.
Nah. Nah. If I was terrible, I'd be like, it fucking sucks.
You would have already canceled this podcast if you were terrible.
Probably.
All right. So this is sort of, I'm going to call this a special edition of Geek and Sassy because we're not going to do our normal segments. We're just going to talk about this one subject. And we are going to welcome our wonderful and beautiful guest. His name is Tim Capel. Hi, Tim.
Hi, Jenny. Hi, Miranda. I am glad this podcast did not get canceled.
Me too.
And I am super glad to be back on your fine program here. Once again, we're going to be talking Stranger Things. You said you wanted more. I am body mass probably qualifies as more. I will also try to be a little bit extra. So... yeah.
I love it when you're extra. That's my favorite.
We'll see what we can do here.
All right.
More and extra.
More and extra. Yeah, at the same time.
I think I need to learn some new adjectives because I called you both wonderful and beautiful, but you are. But
can't believe you didn't call us extra.
We are the divas of Place to Be Nation.
This is true.
That is true.
Underestimated.
You're right.
But our divaness.
Oh,
do not ever try to steal our divaness.
We are the mind flayers of Place to Be Nation.
All right. So last time Tim was with us, we discussed season one of Stranger Things. So now, all these months / years later, because I don't remember when that was.
I do feel like it's been a really long time.
It has
but
been
just
a long
to
time.
Remind everyone. Was it 2017? October
2017. Yeah.
Good
yes.
Lord.
Because it was on my anniversary.
50,000 years
now.
Ago.
I'm not even the same person I was then. You know?
I know, right?
I am a better and worse version of
myself. Just figure, like, probably all the cells in your body have turned over by then. I don't know if that's true, but it sounds like it could be.
Sounds right.
I mean, I know there is a period of time in which this takes place, and the sleepy part of my brain does not remember this.
We're doing well so far. It's been riveting stuff
hey,
so far.
No one comes here for scientific, like, factual shit from me, I don't think.
Yeah, I agree.
Oh, thanks!
It's not our fault. I mean, we didn't schedule this shit. It just... It's a year
true.
And a half, more than a year and a half later. What in the hell were they thinking? But
it's Netflix
here
fault,
we are.
It's not ours.
I agree
right.
with that. Yes. But in any event, we are here. We're going to talk about kind of like a recap and our thoughts about season two and maybe preview and give some speculation about season three. Hopefully.
Some hopes, some dreams.
Yeah. So maybe you can listen to this before you binge season three, and that will get you all lubed up like I like.
Nice.
All right. So, Miranda, let's talk about what happened in season two.
Like a quick rundown, a generalized synopsis. Okay.
A little bullet point.
Bullet points. It's 1984. Everybody's still kind of reeling from the events, the horrors, rather, of the Demogorgon and the secret of Hawkins' lab that has taken place there in Hawkins prior. Core cast is back. You have some new additions to that cast, which are introduced. Do we want to go ahead and say who they are? I mean, everybody should know who they are, right?
Yeah, let's go ahead and say that.
So there's Max and her older brother, Billy, who douche nozzle.
Dead ass, though.
Right? Not mad
we'll
at
We'll talk
it.
About that, I'm sure.
Right.
Yeah, we will.
And we have a new love interest in Mrs. Byers' life.
Mr. Ah!
Bob.
Well.
Bob, manager of Radio Shack. And then there was a new lady in connection to Hawkins Lab. And I feel like there was another person.
Eleven's mom.
Who is that?
Eleven's mom.
Well, yes, Eleven's mom. Yes.
Yeah. Yep. In a fashion, yes.
The light.
We also met the Morlocks in New York City in an episode that was a somewhat unwelcome diversion. I don't know.
Now we'll get into that. I have thoughts about that. I guess we might as well now, unless we're done. Are we done with the recap?
No, I mean, because honestly, until we still get into, unless we like go deep down, we get a newish monster, wouldn't you guys say?
Kind of from the Upside Down.
Yeah.
Newish monster from the Upside Down. We find out where Lemon's been in that whole, because at the end of season one, we're like, where'd she go? What's going on? Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think if there's any more supernatural foes.
We get Nancy and Jonathan investigating sort of the dastardly deeds going on with Hawkins' lab. They meet that kind of sketchy reporter.
That's right.
Yep. We get the best
version. We get justice for Barb. Right?
Yes, justice for Barb.
Finally.
#justice for Barb.
At long last.
Right? We get the best Steve that we could have ever
wanted
and needed.
Yes.
Steve is the best.
Hot Daddy Steve, yes. Right?
Mm.
Justice for Hot thoughts. Steve.
I had some thoughts about Steve this
Me
season.
Me too.
I mean, I don't know. Well,
I think Steve was, I don't know, seriously, like, hands down, he kind of stole the show at points.
A little bit.
Yeah.
All right, so since we're talking about Steve, let's talk about Steve.
Let's talk about Steve.
Yeah.
Did I say that?
I thought he was adorable, like, the whole time, and I fucking hate Nancy. Like, I hated her season one, but, like, I hate Nancy even more.
Oh, my Nancy. I mean, she's
sucks.
Kind of a boring character. Well, she's kind of a boring character, but you sort of need that kind of character in the show,
right.
I think. I thought their breakup was a little abrupt. There was maybe more to be done with that. Because I liked how they stuck together after the end of the first season. You're like, didn't really see that coming. And then they really took that apart, I feel like, by about the second episode here of season two. Second or third, if I'm remembering correctly.
Mm-hmm.
I did like seeing Steve in sort of a bigger role. He was that unexpected breakout character. I think unanimously everyone thought that coming out of season one. But I don't know. It's just there are things that they did with him in this season that didn't totally feel as true to that character maybe as I was hoping. Because he had more of an edge in that first season, right? He's kind of an asshole.
Right.
But he's like an asshole with a heart of gold, apparently. Or at least is finding his way and is not necessarily the one-dimensional just jock dickhead that you take him for it first.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I liked about him. You got to see that sort of growth in him, even though it was through Nancy, who sucks.
Yeah.
But
I liked it too. I thought they sanded down some of those rougher edges a little bit too much.
I'm not, I'm not opposed to that, though, because I think it showed, you know, everybody changed after what happened. Some people realized they were, like, I'm a douche and I don't need you this way. And some people realized that they deserve to be loved. And, like, I don't know. I didn't necessarily dislike what they did to him and changing him. I thought they made him a little bit more relatable. Mm-hmm.
And the chemistry with him and Dustin is just like, come on. They're adorable.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, we saw a lot more Dustin, too, this season.
I love him so much.
He was sort of your second breakout character. Mm-hmm. Who knew that was going to happen? Probably not the producers. But, you know, kudos to them for recognizing it. And, yeah, the Dustin-Steve stuff, it was a little bit like, okay, what is going on here? what do these characters really have in common? Why are they being paired off like this? But I think they were both just likable enough, mm-hmm. and the audience wanted to see so much more of them that it made for a pretty good choice, even if you know, the circumstances weren't necessarily all together there for them to really come together like that. You had stuff like Dustin, like, fangirling on Steve, which was really funny.
It was really
just
cute.
Sort of like, wow, what is this show now? So, I mean, yeah, there's a lot of, like, fan service-y stuff like that, that in some ways I could get annoyed over, but it's hard to when you're a fan. You know what I mean? Like, there's just sort of competing parts of my personality watching some of this. So, I mean, this season was 9 episodes as opposed to 8. So you've got to stretch the story out a little bit. And I don't know, we can talk about how effectively or not we thought they pulled that off. Notably, they are going back to 8 episodes in the 3rd season, right? Hmm. So, I don't know. Take that for what you will.
I thought Dustin got a lot of screen time, actually.
He did.
Compared to some of the other kids, like Will got a lot as well, especially towards the end. But I felt like our main character for a lot of this was Dustin.
I could definitely understand feeling that way for sure, because there is more Dustin and Will, you know, Dustin and crap Steve. But at the same time, I think when you have such a large cast where everybody is essentially the front runner, sort of speak, at some point, maybe they're going to do this with every season, somebody different has to kind of be in the limelight.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I felt like, as far as screen time, I thought that Eleven and Hopper was kind of lacking. Like, I really love their scenes together, especially this one fight that they have. When she just goes insane. But, like, I wanted to see more of them together. But part of the story is she has to go off and find her mom. So that was kind of like, well, shit.
Yeah, and I kind of understood the narrative necessity of that, but like you, I think I wanted to see her more actively in the mix, like she was in that first season. I know that, you know, you have this a lot of intrigue and a lot of build up around her reunion.
Right.
I think, you know, particularly with Mike, who we haven't talked about, but it felt a little bit, after a while, it was like, this is sort of a plot that's stringing us along. I mean, there's some interesting revelations coming out of her journey and her side story that she had, but come on, this is about the characters. That's who we care about. There's no reason to push this thing off until the end. Give us the good stuff now. It's not like you're going to run out of juice here. Like, we're in it, you know.
But
let's get these kids back together.
I see what you're saying, but I feel like she does have to do that. You know, she does have to find out where she came from and why she is this way and how she came to be and who her family is. So I think she has to do all of that in order to, like, maybe come to terms with it and like harness her power, like because she can understand it a little bit more.
Like she wasn't going to let it go, essentially.
Right.
Either.
Yeah.
Like,
oh no. Yeah.
She shouldn't have to. I mean, she.
Oh no, no.
Yeah, and like the episode that we alluded to earlier, where she finds her, I don't know what you want to call them, like mutant family or whatever. It was very X-Men, right?
It really was. What was it? The Lost Sister?
It tried to be very X-Men. But really, like, most people that I've talked to did not like that episode, but I really did.
Hmm.
I don't know. I liked seeing her find people that were like herself.
I wasn't opposed to her finding people that were like herself. I feel like it was done in such a way that it was just, like, thrown in there, and then it was over. And so,
well, she
maybe
had,
the point of it got a little lost in translation.
I just saw it to where she, like, got her answers that she needed, and she met people that understood her, but then she felt the pull back to Hawkins. Like, you know, I still have to do this. And it made her come back, and I don't know. I like that part.
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was fine in theory. It's just, in practice, it felt very much like that ninth episode, you know, where it's like, okay, we have an extra episode to fill here. What do we do with it?
Right.
Not to say it was totally inconsequential or without value. I mean, I think it was there that she learned how to, what, harness her emotions or whatever to, you know, better focus her powers, something like that.
Right.
And, I mean, that's all well and good. It's just sort of like the way it was done. Who are these people? We don't care. By the way,
right.
We're pretty on board with the story that was already happening, and then this kind of just got dropped in there. But then again, I don't care that much because we're binge-watching it. Just momentum was sort of shifted, if not totally derailed by that one. So
like,
it's kind of like, it wasn't the worst thing in the world. I was just like, who cares?
Like,
go ahead, Miranda.
If it, like, I was just going to say, like, maybe if it had been spread, do you feel like that would have helped it better? Like, if that one episode, like, very different parts of it, or like you said, we didn't know, we didn't have any clue who those people were. Like, they were just kind of like, boom, you're gone. You're in, you're, not that they're irrelevant, but in a lot of ways they are. Like,
well, I think it did a good job of tying everything back together, you know, especially with those, what she ends up finding out about her mom and why she, how she has her powers and why she has her powers. I just thought they did a really good job at like making it come full circle for her. And I don't know, I kind of cared about those kids by the, by the time that little arc was over with. I don't know. And they could maybe team up later. I don't know. And that's like the comic book fan in me, like wanting them.
Well, the
to,
door's
like,
left open. Yeah.
You know,
right? And I think that's my problem with it is that it was like it tossed them in, and then unless they're brought back in season three, then they just are never any more than they were. Hmm. But it's like that, I think that's my problem with it. I was not one that hated that episode, but I didn't love it either. I felt like it was like, just too much. Yes, a lot of doors were closed, and it showed her that, like, you didn't have to be bad, and then it did bring her back to Hawkins, so I get what you're saying there, and I'm with it, but overall, like, it just kind of was, like, a not super great, like, kind of like Tim said, like, I don't know if it was a, like, oh crap, what are we going to do with this episode kind of deal.
Hmm. Like, well, that's fair. Well, what were some things that you did like? Any episodes that stand out? Any characters? Moments?
I knew once I liked Bob that
yes.
things were hitting well.
I love Bob. He's
Bob,
so cute.
Oh, poor Bob.
He was.
He loved Joyce so much.
He did.
And he was so good to her and her boys. And he was just adorable.
And that has to be hard to come into somebody's life after something this traumatic, you know, her son being missing, essentially in a supernatural world, but, like, her son was missing and now he's back, and you can tell, like, things aren't super great with him. And then, mm-hmm. you know, Bob's there when things are like super shitty.
And he knows he doesn't know the story. You know, he's like, he knows he's out of the loop and he's just,
right. yeah.
he just, you know, says that's fine, you know, and I'll just be here for you and mm-hmm. we'll just keep going. And he just, you know, he gives himself over to the whole situation. It's just so endearing. And it broke my heart when he died. I was like, it was awful.
Yeah. Even kind of knowing it was coming. Yeah. You're like, maybe there's still an out for him. They'll swerve us at the last minute here.
I was hoping for it.
I remember people were also thinking, oh, he's going to turn out to be like a traitor or some kind. He's
that
a bad guy.
That is true. Yeah.
A lot of people did think that.
And it was like, nope, he's just this well-meaning, good dude. And I also appreciated that. Just,
me too.
Because so often it's the cliched mom's love interest thing is a douchebag and
right.
is
or a secret mistreats, douchebag.
Yeah, mistreats her, mistreats the kids hate him. No, I mean, he was a genuinely good guy all around. The kids liked him. And he suffers this horrible fate, unfortunately. I know. But it was refreshing to see that, I thought. I mean, not so much that he died, but just that kind of character.
And I thought Sean Astin was, like, really, really good. Like,
yes.
he was the perfect oh, yeah. Bob.
He's and so... I'm also having a... I will forever have a Mandela effect where I think it was... Patton Oswalt.
They do look but it was a lot alike.
Who I think has actually commented on that too. He's like, no, yeah. no, I'm not in season two of Stranger Things.
But they both had that same, like, really, like, genuine and sort of, like, yeah. warm quality to them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Very jovial, kind yeah. of that doughy appearance. And yeah. no, I'm not trying to body shame or anything.
No, just, they're adorable. I love it. Mm. Let's see what else. What else stands out? So you get the horrible Nancy, who I hate, and Jonathan, who I really do like.
I always have.
I like him. They did that sort of like love triangle thing where he obviously is in love with her and she loves Steve. And then in this one, they just go the whole opposite way. Like, sorry, Steve, you're cut off, and now she's going to go and fuck Jonathan.
It's kind of funny, though. It's like, Steve's not a douchebag anymore, and he's a really nice guy. Right. Nancy's like, not interested in you anymore. Yeah. Sorry!
I can't fault her for that, but yes, I still do hate her.
Can I say that I thought them fucking in the guy's house was kind of gross?
Oh, yeah.
I mean...
Sure.
Well...
And he was kind of gross too, of course. And
that's my point.
I don't know. It's like it was played as romantic in a way that I don't think they really pulled off. You know what I mean? It's just
I can see that
they were in like this weird kind of gross environment, and then that's when they choose to like get together.
That's how it's going to happen between them. I mean, I understand they've been through so much. They're drawn together.
Yeah. Right.
The impossible circumstances, blah, blah, blah. But really, there and then, just...
Didn't he give them alcohol, too?
On them.
He did.
Yeah, he gave them alcohol, which was the creepy part for me. Like, you know, if anybody hooks up, I'm all about that. So I was fine with them hooking up. And I just...
Oh, sure.
Glad I didn't have to see Nancy's boobs or whatever because. And,
well, I think you won't ever see anything like that because that's taking it like to them. They still want it to be somewhat of a family.
You could still show boobs, but I don't want to see Nancy's boobs. I think it was the alcohol as part of what fueled it a little bit, probably.
Oh yeah, totally.
And that guy, I don't remember his name, the guy that we're talking about, the creepy guy.
He was the weird conspiracy theorist.
Murray, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
And so they just go over there and they're like, because Nancy, I do feel sorry for her a little bit because she knows what happened to Barb and she has, you know, she has to watch Barb's parents basically just like lose her life savings looking for their daughter. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. she knows that she's never coming back. And that's pretty compelling, I will admit. But
I can't imagine knowing something like that and like wanting to tell them, but you can't. Yeah. And then, you know.
But they just get tired of it, right? So they're just going to blow the lid on it, and they decide to come clean to this guy. And, you know, eventually there's hashtag justice for Barb.
It did feel like an extended response to that whole
a little bit
movement, so to speak. It was one of those, like, all right, justice for Bob, y'all shut the fuck up now. Yeah. Here you go.
Yeah. Right. Whole season. I don't think they saw that that many people were going to get band together and be like, justice for Barb! Like, right. That was one of those, like, oh, crap, what do we do?
I just detected I don't know, I'm sort of putting myself in the shoes of the writers and producers here, but just felt like they were a little bit annoyed by it.
You think
just,
so?
Yeah, here you go. That's going to be their whole fucking arc.
I can see that. That was not something they had envisioned ever, like, touching on again. So. It was like, Barb was one of the first to die. Okay, that's it. Like, that's how they wrote it. And then all these millions of people were like, fuck that! Justice for Barb! And they were like, what the shit? Really? We thought Barb was gone.
But it's kind of a big plot point when you think about it, because with that becomes, like, all of the things that happened to Hawkins, like, it becomes public. So
right.
you mm-hmm. kind of, like, blow your cover there. It's no longer, you know, super secret. So it's kind of ended up being a huge deal as far as justice for Barb. Which I'm curious to see how that goes in the third season. Okay, so my
Barb
favorite
comes back, but she's like
Demi Barb.
Oh. Yeah, Demi Barb.
Demi Barb. I don't know if Barb, I like it.
Oh my god. I turned on the season 2 and it's at the Bob death scene and I'm gonna lose it.
Oh,
no, poor Bob. Oh god, right in front of Joyce too. Oh,
why would you do this to yourself?
I don't know. I wasn't timing it well. So what kills, I guess we should talk about the villain, I guess, here. What kills Bob is one of those Demodogs.
Yeah, Demodogs.
So it's like a mini Demogorgon. And it...
like offspring of a Demogorgon, maybe?
Kind of, yeah.
You know?
Like spawned from a central guy who we don't really
see.
So
were these the things that Will was barfing up into the sink?
I believe so, because Dustin finds the creature, right? The little creature. So I'm pretty sure that little creature that Dustin finds and it ends up becoming a Demodog is the thing that, or not necessarily the exact one, but is the thing that Will yaks up into the sink.
Right. Because they never did say explicitly.
You had to wonder about the life cycle of this organism, because it's like you would assume he like breathed it in when he was in the upside down. Like, I can't imagine how else he would puke it up, you know?
Well, he was hooked up to that like apparatus when they found him. I don't know how else to describe it.
Right,
but it was like a face hugger kind of thing.
Right, yeah. So maybe
a very alien situation.
Impregnated his intestines.
Got impregnated by
larvae.
Demogorgon.
Or maybe just leaves a piece of itself essentially inside.
Maybe. Yeah, maybe like a... like a clone.
Like you may get out of the upside enough, down, you know, but upside down's not getting out of you.
Yeah.
I feel like not enough has been remarked on that. Like, just the
I feel
stuff
that way.
That happened to him.
Yeah, I agree. So we see, like, from Will's is obviously still fucked up from everything that happened to him a year.
Yeah.
So it's been a year, and he is having all these visions, and he seems possessed. It gets very, like, sort of exorcist-y at times.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's aware of this presence of what it is. But we don't really see it. We see like a shadow, like a giant shadow, mm-hmm. when he goes to the Upside Down in his visions. But we don't really know what it is. And so he starts drawing all these, like, tentacles.
Mind Flayer!
It's really cool the way that they... The same way that they did in the first season with the Christmas lights, they do in mm-hmm. this season mm-hmm. with his drawings. So they've, like, yeah. mapped out every tunnel and every, like, little creepy, crawly, reachy thing all throughout their house. It's really awesome the way they visually represent it.
And Bob is the one who figures out it's like a map, basically, right? Right?
Yeah. It's yes. all like subterranean tentacles, basically, coming from a central thing that we see.
Because doesn't Bob say he plays D&D or something? And mm-hmm. so he's like, I know what that is.
Yeah.
Because a Mind Flayer, like, if you play D&D, you knew what it was when you saw it. You're like, it's a Mind Flayer! Oh my god!
Okay, well, yeah. that explains a lot, because I did not know that.
Yes, so just like the Demogorgon, the Mind Flayer is a creature from the Dungeons & Dragons world.
Well, why don't they reference that here?
I think...
They should have made that a little bit more obvious, in my opinion. Because they made it pretty obvious in the first season.
Well, that's the thing about the show. In my head, I'm sitting here going, I think they did. But I'm like, wait, maybe I just read that online somewhere.
Maybe they did not. I mean...
No, I don't remember that at all.
I can't keep straight what's actually canon to the show itself and what has right. just been commented on, like in YouTube videos and Reddit and whatnot.
Yeah. But the Mind Flayer is actually he's a full-on creature from the Dungeons & Dragons world. And he has advantage on saving throws and other magical effects.
Does he have, like, a psychic power? Because he seems, like, very, like, connected to Will, and, like, Will's very aware of him. So it feels like a psychic sort of thing.
Yes, he has Mind Blast and Extract Brain, and I could pull out my book and...
Mind Blast? Is that what you just said?
Yeah, he has a Mind Blast ability. Like,
what does that mean?
Do you want me to get my book out? It's right here beside me.
Well, apparently I've missed, like, a huge plot point on this show that I've watched three times.
No, I mean, like, the D&D character, the Mind Flayer, has Mind Blast and Brain Extract.
Right.
He said, have a psychic ability, and I said, yeah, well, yeah, kind of.
Okay.
Well, what we see in the show is that I think the Hawkins lab people compared it to a virus that mm-hmm. was invading Will's body, and eventually was kind of taken over his mind, too. Because he has... Remember the Lando Calrissian moment, right?
Mm-hmm.
With Mike yelling, it's a trap!
Well, they call it the Shadow Monster as well, so...
Yeah. Well, okay.
So the Mind Flayer. Yeah, Dustin just said it.
So my book here does say, the Mind Flayer magically emits psychic energy. So that's what his Mind Blast is, that he can, like... So if you were playing D&D and your DM said you were hit with the Mind Flayer's Mind Blast, then yes, it is an emittance of psychic energy.
Okay. I'm seeing the scene now where Dustin is explaining it. So obviously...
Okay, I was like, I thought so, but...
It's just my stupid brain that didn't remember this. Mind Flamer? Flayer. Okay, that's what he says.
Flayer.
Flayer okay. Mind.
Well, that makes more sense. All right, what else?
I thought that Will... God, I don't know any of the actors' names.
Yeah, me either. I know right, Millie Bobby Brown, that's all I know.
Yes.
Yeah.
Noah Schnapp. who plays... Will was kind of the best performer of the kids, maybe of the whole show.
He was amazing.
In a way that was sort of like, who knew? That was another one of those things. I can't imagine they thought he was going to be the best actor of the bunch when they cast him in that first season.
Right, because in season one, what did he really do?
Yeah, I mean, he's sidelined for so long.
Like, Mike is more kind of like... the front runner in season one. It's Mike and Eleven. And then everybody else is kind of like there. And then season two here, you got Dustin and Steve and Will. And even Eleven is just kind of there. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, her story is super important. But I mean, as far as like who takes kind of precedence.
Will has to do a lot of the emotional heavy lifting in this second season. Like when he's having those visions or flashbacks or whatever you want to call them.
Right.
I mean, I thought he did a really, really convincing job of just selling the terror and the hopelessness that this child was experiencing.
And especially so, in the scenes with Joyce. The way they feed off each other is just, it's really, really awesome. Especially towards the end of the season when they're, like, trying to basically burn the creature or whatever out of him and they are just next level.
Oh, yeah.
I was, like, sobbing. It was awesome. I think that, I don't know, there's something about those two, like, they have a true magic.
Well, and then I don't know if there's any truth to this, but somewhere, apparently Millie Bobby Brown and Noah may be, like, I don't know how old that kid is. They're both like 15, but they possibly are like a for real boyfriend girlfriend item.
Really?
I kind of heard that.
Yeah, no, I saw something. I like one of them put that. Something on Instagram, and the caption that went with it made you go, "Huh? He's very cutesy. He's just adorable."
Hmm. Like apparently they're very good friends. If they're not,
like the whole cast is. Dating. But yeah,
yeah.
Oh, so speaking of romance, you kind of get another little love triangle here with the new girl, Max, and Dustin, and, oh my God, what's his name?
Lucas.
So they both like Max, but they try not to step on each other's toes, but Max, I think, is kind of drawn to Lucas way more than Dustin. Right.
How did you guys feel about Max overall being introduced into the gang and her brother Billy being introduced into the gang?
Well, I mean, I could see the boys got fascinated with her because she got all the high scores on the video games at the arcade. And then she has several, like, nice scenes with really all three of the boys, Mike and Dustin and Lucas. But I thought it was cool. If I can't have Elle in the group, I guess it's cool that there's another girl there.
Yeah, there is that where it feels a little bit like, well, here she is to be the girl.
Yeah.
I did think they sort of gave her enough personality to overcome that, but the optics are still there. Mm-hmm. As far as the brother, Billy, I mean, I guess he needed another, like, genuine, full-on asshole to replace Steve since Steve turned face. So he really fills that gap. Might fill some other gaps, too, if you ask moms of Hawkins. Mm-hmm. But I'm sure we'll comment on that.
And I thought that Billy was really just fucking, like, scary. Like, in a way more real way than the shadow monster felt scary to me. Like, the scenes where he was, like, abusive to his sister were, like, legit.
Mm-hmm.
And then,
like, he takes it beyond just school bully.
Yeah.
Like, he's a villain.
But then you get a clearer picture of their home life, and suddenly you understand why it's not okay. It's one of those, like, sayings, like, boys will be boys. Like, it's not okay.
Right.
But it makes you understand why he is that way. And it makes you sad for both of them then at that point.
Yeah. Like, he does have a little bit of a sympathy, but it's very short-lived, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Makes me wonder if he's going to be any less douchey after, you know, being threatened and, you know, going through.
Well, I mean, we could talk about that when we talk about season three. Mm-hmm. But any other characters that... Hopper. So, Daddy Hopper is wonderful. in this.
Yes.
Wonderful. Like, his relationship with Eleven is, like, my most favorite thing about Stranger Things.
Mm-hmm.
He takes care of her after the events of season one. He sets up a cabin for her out in the middle of nowhere. He basically becomes her dad. But he has instilled these rules that he feels like is for her safety, but she feels like is just trapping her where she's at, which they're both right and they're both wrong.
Right.
But he
it's
does
a second chance to be a dad.
Right, definitely.
Mm, yeah.
And that comes through quite a bit.
Speaks to some of his issues. Yes.
Oh, for sure.
I do have a question.
Okay.
Pertaining to them. How did he find her? But I think my real question is, do we know why he even had the inclination to think that she was still alive and to look for her? Like, that sort of confused me to the point where I was like, did they not do this, or did I totally miss something here?
I can see what you're saying. Part of me thinks that he, like, had a feeling about it, but
right.
wasn't sure, so he would leave the food out, and then the food would be gone. And then...
I think from maybe after, because obviously he knows about the Upside Down and he is aware of it.
Yeah, he went there. Yeah.
Yeah.
So because of this and he's aware of that, he's like, you know what? I just can't foresee, you know, other people came out of the Upside Down. I'm mm-hmm. just not going to buy that she's gone yet.
Mm-hmm.
And so like Jenny said, I don't know that they ever explain it, but like maybe he left the food the first time and when it was gone, he's like, all right.
Somebody's taking it. Yeah.
Right. Somebody's taking it. I'm going to, you know, I'm going to keep this going. I'm going to get her back. And then after a certain point, you know, he has to no longer be thinking somebody's taking it. It's her.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And probably.
And I didn't need it spelled out explicitly. It was one of those things where I was like, I almost wanted to go back and rewatch that first season finale, which maybe I should do that. But it was. Almost one of the, you know how things sometimes get lost between seasons in a way?
Mm-hmm.
Especially when it's a show this early on and they're like, are we even going to get a second season? Mm-hmm. We're going to set all this stuff up and, oh crap, we got a season two, but oh shit, we have to pay this off now. We are totally sure how it is. So I don't know if that's just me or the show just still kind of figuring out what it's going to be. And, you know, you talk about sometimes shows have a sophomore slump. I don't think that's what this was at all. But they're finding their way. And I think that's kind of cool.
I think some of these unexplained things are maybe left there because there is a gap between what happened before and where we're coming to now. And so maybe they're kind of like giving you snippets and letting you kind of maybe plug in the rest for yourself to your interpretation. From like a mom standpoint, like Jenny said, like he just knew, he just felt it because he already had that like connection with, he already kind of saw her as like the daughter he needed to protect. So I'm wondering if they're letting like, based on your
he's a cop
thought processes, like feel it in yourself basically.
Yeah. And like cops, they, you know, people would probably see things out in the woods that they couldn't explain and then like tell the cops and then he would just know that was her.
Right. That's the other thing. He is also a police officer. There is some intuition that comes with that.
And I'm watching the scene where they're talking to Will in the little shed or whatever and trying to burn that, like trying to bring him out of it.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing. Like, Will, he doesn't even do anything but look at everybody. He just emotes mm-hmm. so hard. And, you know, Mike's crying and everybody's crying. It's just, it's devastating. Oh my gosh.
It was a really important and really amazing, well done scene by all of the kids that were part of it.
These kid actors are something else.
I know it.
I know. I don't remember us when we were growing up having kid actors that were this great. I mean, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm just like blown away by these kids. But I mean,
no, I think it's
well. These are like special. Actually real kids too. Yeah. I think some of the kid actors we're thinking of were perhaps young adults playing kids.
Mm-hmm. Right, yeah. Possibly. Right.
I mean, you had a few here, and like the Corys.
Which still happens today. I mean, Disney Channel is full of kids that are like actually 17, 18, 19, 20, but they play like a 15-year-old.
Yeah. I think the caliber of child actor now is a little bit higher than it was.
Sure. Oh, for, yeah.
In the actual 80s.
Yeah. All right. So I think we touched on pretty much everything. I mean, we, by the end of it, they, 11 shows back up. Mm-hmm. And you get the big showdown with the Shadow Monster.
Right.
And 11 kicks its ass.
She basically says, not today.
Mm-mm. Not today, Shadow Monster.
We got a lot of badass ladies saying not today in the last few seasons of shit, don't we?
Yeah, we do.
She closes the opening to the Upside Down, right?
Yep.
So that was something that was still left out there after the first season, and now they're saying, no, we're going to shut this whole thing down.
That's good. That's smart.
Why did they not, after season one, when everything was like all willy-nilly like that, like, why the hell did we not?
Because they couldn't. I think they needed 11 to do it. Like, I don't think they could figure out a way to do it.
Oh, okay, you're saying, like, it had to be 11 that closed it. I think so.
Yeah, because...
Gotcha. Okay.
It just slowly, over the year, you know, it had just slowly spread out, you know, under the ground.
It's the whole, like, connective tissue thing.
Right, they were fighting it, but they could never, you know, really gain any ground on it. It just kept slowly spreading. But, yeah, I think she was needed to do that. And then I need to know you guys' thoughts about the last couple scenes that you get at the big snowball. The snowball dance.
Oh, right.
The kids go
the
to.
Snowball.
Oh, my God, it was so cute.
Well, I love Hopper and 11 when he's going to the dance because he wears those blue bracelets around his wrist. They're actually like hair ties, like hair ribbons, like you and I would put around our wrist. And he, you know, because he always looks at them when he wakes up. They were his daughters, and then he puts them in, you know, he passes them as bracelets to 11 for her to go to the dance.
Oh, my God.
Sorry.
Yeah, she's legit now, right? Yes. She's got paperwork. Mm-hmm. And Hopper is very fit now. Ooh. Yeah, he went off to film Hellboy and came back without that dad bod, but still very
daddy. Still hot though. Yep,
Hellboy is a must see. Anyway, it's genuinely a good Hellboy. Like anyway, but. I mean, there are reasons why it might be better.
Dustin at the dance, too, is just like, he gets his hair all looking like Steve's.
I forgot about that.
Oh, my God, he's so cute. And then he goes up to these cute little girls, and he wants to dance, and they say no. And then Nancy, in a rare move that I enjoyed from Nancy, goes over there to dance with him in front of the girls. Oh, my God, I was dead.
Dustin is kind of the forever alone one. I mean, I hate to say it, but that's just sort of how they're writing him. But in a way, they kind of have to because he can't get the girl. You know, the whole thing, the triangle that you mentioned with Max, because Lucas really didn't have anything this season. I mean, let's face it. And you can't. Somebody's got to draw the short end of the stick, I guess. Unfortunately, it seemed to be that character. But pairing him up with Max, being in a relationship, it's something.
Yeah.
It might be all that character has. So there we have it.
I can see that. That makes sense. And they're really good.
Dustin, we're going to love no matter what.
Yeah,
you know, like,
true.
Dustin has already won everybody over, so he's not going to get the girl. He's just
unless,
not.
Unless, because don't they introduce another person this season? Like, isn't there another newcomer?
Was there?
No, like, that's coming.
I don't know.
That's why I said unless.
Oh, coming up.
Maybe.
Yeah. Because, like, in the Instagram promotional, like, because, you know, I'd be more on IG than anywhere. But they had a bunch of Stranger Things on there recently because they had, like, the special showing in the first two episodes. And there was a couple of people in the cast lineup that I didn't know who they were. So I was wondering if they were people coming, obviously. Obviously, they're coming up in this next season.
Mm-hmm.
Also at the dance, we get Mike and Eleven.
Mm-hmm.
Do they kiss?
Yeah, finally their reunion.
Do they get a kiss? Or I don't remember.
I think they do.
I
feel like they do, but I don't remember.
Hmm. See how long ago it's been?
Yeah, I know. Yeah, it has. And I'm not that far in my rewatch yet, so. All right, anything else that we want to say before we take a quick break about season two? Overall thoughts, did you like it? Did you not like it? Was it better, worse than season one, Miranda?
I still think I liked season one better, but there were huge parts of season two that I preferred to season one.
Mm-hmm.
I don't necessarily think it hit like a slump, so to speak, as Tim mentioned, that shows happen to take. But still, season one is better for me, maybe mm-hmm. because it was the introduction of the whole thing. I don't know. Mm-hmm.
What do you think, Tim?
Yeah, I think I kind of alluded to this earlier. I did prefer season one overall. Just hard to – you're never going to be able to recapture that sort of initial enthusiasm and – just the novelty of what this was. I thought it was interesting, season two, and like true 80s sequel fashion. It's more of the same, right? I mean, right down to that narrative structure. We meet the gang, they split up and go resolve their various different side quests, and then they come back together for the big grand finale. So, and you have sort of the same age dynamics too, where there's the adult group and then the high school kids and then the actual kids. They did mix and match with that a little bit, but overall it just structurally felt like it was kind of mimicking what they did in the first season. And it's like I understand from the narrative standpoint why you do that, but I just felt like it was bit formulaic, a little bit forced, kind of been there, done that. So, I mean, ultimately, end of the day, it's the characters who are more interesting than this central narrative, I think. Mm-hmm. So, whatever the mythology or the mystery of the Upside Down, we're showing up for the characters.
Right.
And I hope they realize that and emphasize that going forward.
So I agree. The characters and the performances from these actors.
Yes.
Because I'm all about it.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Let's take a break. And then when we come back, we will give our thoughts about season three of Stranger Things. From the Upside Down.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Place Three Nations, JT Rosero and Chad Campbell here. We want to let you know that we have over 24 podcasts available on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and PlaceThreeNation.com. We now offer them to you on two great feeds. On the Place Three Nations Wrestling feed, we dive into topics running the gamut from today's WWE to the glory days of yesteryear and the ins and outs of the territory days. In addition to our full-length shows, we also deliver to you special pod blasts on topics old and new.
The Place Three Nations Pop feed is a veritable treasure trove of great content. Offer tremendous shows covering the land of movies, television, life, comics, and sports, brought to you by the most knowledgeable and insightful folks in the podcast world.
You can find all these great shows, plus archives of our past podcasts from over the past 8 years, as well by subscribing to both feeds on iTunes. And while you're there, be sure to rate and leave feedback as well. All of these shows, plus others, available on PlaceofNation.com, where we cover pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus in-depth search projects, and much more. Be sure to support our site by using www.PlaceofNation.com/Amazon when doing your online shopping. We want to thank our friends at Boneheads, Wing Bar, ProWrestlingOnly.com, and TheHistoryOfWrestling.com as well. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr. PlaceofNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Welcome back to Geek and Sassy. I'm Jennifer. I'm here with Miranda and Tim. And we are still talking to you about Stranger Things. But before we get back to that, we are going to talk a little bit about what's going on in Place to Be Nation. Miranda, what you got?
Well, first off, let me just comment that after almost 3 years of doing this with you, I finally tonight noticed that every time you introduce us or bring us back, Jenny always goes geek and sassy. She brings it up a notch.
Well, that's what it's supposed to say.
Anyway.
That's how it goes.
Got to go up a little bit on the end.
Right? Well, anyway. So, yeah, we get a plethora, right? Isn't that the term, ladies and gentlemen? A plethora of great things. So, Place to Be Nation. Currently, the newest Marvel Age, the Sarcastic Four, do dive into 1971 with the first three parts covering the year there. I haven't listened to it yet. Anybody chiming in?
Yes, it's going to be our first three-part year. So, we've recorded and dropped that first part of 1971, and we will have part two of 1971 coming up a little bit later here in the month of July.
I love how he's like, a little bit later.
Yeah, well, it's hard to speculate on things that we're scheduled to record but have not officially recorded yet.
So. I totally understand.
Peek behind the curtain how the sausage is made.
No one better than Geek and Sassy understands that.
Agreed.
Right. Right.
Of course, you can check that one out on our feed, as well as join my wonderful friend Andy as he welcomes our very awesome one half of the Hard Traveling Fanboy, Greg Phillips, and they watch one of the funniest movies of all time, according to them, which is Austin Powers' International Man of Mystery. Great listen there. If you're new to Place to Be Nation, check it out, because Greg's voices are fantastic. If you're not new, then I don't have to tell you that, of course. And then checking in with the other half of the Hard Traveling Fanboys, Greg, with his co-host, Nick, conclude X-Men Month with Long Book Hunters and reviewing Ed Piscor. Yeah, say that, because I'm going to...
Ed Piscor.
Thank you, Piscor.
Piscor.
Never mind, I want to say piss, but that's not nice or right, so... You know. But Ed Piscor's ambitious X-Men Grand Design, which I have not listened to yet, but I'm sure it's phenomenal, like all of their episodes.
It's and then, an interesting exercise in sort of weaving all the disparate threads and strands of X-Men continuity into an actual narrative, a focused narrative, which... My, what an undertaking. So, yeah, worth checking that one out. It's
well, that description
pretty cool
alone
effort.
Should make people want to go listen to it. So, there you
by
go.
By all means, yes.
There you go. And then over at DC4U, which is our newest weekly comics show on the Pop Feed, it's just Russell and the manager, Todd Weber himself, bringing monthly current events in the DC comic world. And this one is obviously going to be for June of 2019. We have Songs of Friends, episode 29, breaking down Kenny Chesney's The Good Stuff and Fuel Shimmer. That's an eclectic little group there, but all right. And, of course, my lovely Jenny is back with a new episode of Freak Out Drive-In. And she welcomes returning guest, Jenny. What did you guys talk about over there?
Me and Scott Criscolo, we talked about a clown movie called Terrifier. That is wonderful.
Never seen it, actually.
I might watch that next few days here.
It's super gory and gross and weird and awesome. You'll love it, Tim.
When is it from? Right. Like, when was that made? What year?
It was like 2016.
Okay.
Yeah, I watched it on Shudder, and then it moved to Netflix. So you can find it on Netflix right now.
Also, hanging out over on our pop feed, we can join Glenn and Scott as they discuss / debate the Democratic hopefuls for our next coming presidential election. And then over there, episode of NBA Team, we have Adam and Andrew, or Andy, whatever he wants to go by that day. And they're reflecting on what has been quite a week, honestly, a adventurous time in NBA world with all the changes and switches and free agents and just a whole mess of things. And you can join all of us as we have the reboot of the Greatest Songs of the 80s tournament that has kicked off. It started on June the 23rd. There are 6 polls a day posted for 1 round. And you can check out on, you can vote actually on Facebook or Twitter. And like the page and weigh in. And maybe Jenny and I will do another live vote like we did with the candy tournament.
Ooh, I already voted today, but we'll have to keep that in mind for next
time. I'm slipping on my voting. I need to get back on it.
Yes, you do.
Get in the game!
All right.
They're so hard, some of these matchups.
They really are.
But see,
I mean, it's just now kicked off. I mean, this is not, these shouldn't be the hard choices, but they still are.
They still are. There's so many great songs. And also, a little trick is you can vote for, if you like both songs, vote for one on Facebook and the other on Twitter.
That almost feels like there's just no value in even doing it. You're just canceling yourself out, right?
Well, I do what I want, so it doesn't fucking matter.
I only vote on the Facebook.
It's not canceling it out. It's distributing my love.
Distributing your love.
I will say,
it's making it equal.
In the comments on Facebook, and like if you look at the song title and you're like, I know this. I feel like I should know this, but you like aren't sure if you know it. There's a link to both songs for you to debate and decide, for you to listen to it, watch it on the YouTube.
Some of these choices, it's talk about distributing your love. It's the difference between laying down, distributing your entire body weight over a bed of nails or stepping on a single nail. I mean, it's just unpleasant either way. How are you going to choose?
How about that one today? Madonna versus Black Velvet?
That's by Velvet All the Way, my friend.
Black, yes.
All right, what Madonna song?
Into a groove.
Sorry.
Yeah, you gotta go Black Velvet.
Yep, Black Velvet
all day long.
All right, well.
Chad King's favorite too.
Yes. On the wrestling feed, there's quite a lot going on. Just recently dropped the newest Wrestling Warzone, the Monday Night Wars number 28, in which Justin and Chad discussed Royal Rumble 1996. Thank God I said that correctly. I wanted to say that's the way I wanted to say it. Anyway. And then there's a really cool, if I can say that myself, a little podcast called the PTBN Network Special about Crockett Cup 86. That's me and Drew Wardlaw and Matt Souza, watched this 4-hour show, and then we podcasted about it, and it was really fun. So listen to that, Crockett Cup 86.
Sounds fun.
And then,
hot topic in the world of wrestling.
I know, right?
That Crockett Cup. I mean, that's a hidden gem.
It
dropped
surely
here
is
recently
for many reasons. And then on the newest main event, Scott and Nate and Steve Willey talk about the new hires and for WWE to run SmackDown and Raw. And then they talk about Fighter Fest, which just happened this weekend, and ROH's Best in the World. So listen to that one.
What fest was that?
Fighter Fest.
I swear to God, I thought you said Fire Fest, and I was like,
Fire
you've already
Festival?
Been down this road. We have been down this road. We went down this road together.
And let's see.
It's well worth it, though.
Yeah. Something else on placetobenation.com. Of course, we have our tribute to 1994. There's a couple of written pieces there about the Best Picture nominees for the Academy Awards that year. The 94
stacked year.
I know, right? The World Cup that year, and then the miniseries The Stand. So check out all of those articles.
Long movie.
Our social media pages, of course, on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram. The message board at bigelow34.proboards.com. And you can join our GWWE pay-per-view and TV match ever project and get your list started today. So let's get back to Stranger Things. A couple of things that I feel like we missed from season two that I thought about while I was peeing during our break was the little flirtation that kind of sprung up between Billy, Max's brother, and Mrs. Wheeler, Nancy's mom. So Billy is just looking for Max. She's out with the gang, and he doesn't know where she is. And he stops by the Wheeler house. And Mrs. Wheeler was just relaxing in a nice bubble bath, looking hot as fuck, I will add. And reading a romance novel. And then who shows up but hot-ass Billy at her door. And there was some extreme sexual tension. How did you feel about this, Tim?
I was sort of taken aback because
it was out of nowhere.
It was so out of nowhere, and it was so not telegraphed at all.
No.
Like, based on where the show was at that point, based on what we had come to know about this Billy character, and I mean, the mom, she's always just been the mom of the show. Like, you know, Joyce Byers is an actual character in the show. I can't even think of her first name. Mrs. Wheeler is just kind of in the show, right? She's just sort of there to be a stabilizing force for the Wheeler family. And it was just, where are we going with this? What is going on here?
It was out of nowhere.
Yeah. And I mean, it's kind of played for laughs, and that's fine, but you sort of question in the back of your mind, is it just going to be a one-off deal? Well, certainly we've seen a teaser for season three that is suggestive of perhaps continuing down this path.
Agreed. Miranda, what do you think about that?
A little unwarranted. I'm not hating it, but a little unwarranted. I think what it does show, maybe unnecessarily, but you notice how every time she tries to say anything to her husband, he's like, yes, dear.
God,
he's dear,
like,
mother, dear.
Most boring person ever.
Right. And so I think that's showing that, like, she doesn't want to be, not that she doesn't love her husband or that she ever really would step out on him or anything, but that, like, she's kind of bored and she feels lonely. And then I think it also shows Billy's level of willingness to manipulate to get what he wants.
Yeah, for sure.
Because he really only wanted to know where Max was, to be a shit.
And he was just kind of fucking with her, you know?
Like, oh, yeah.
She did look hot, though. He probably would have hit that, but, I mean, but then, like Tim said, in one of the teasers for season three, all the mamas are in on the Billy train.
Yeah,
at the swimming pool.
It was really funny the way they did that.
It really was. I love the way that, like the Barb thing, they take little things that seemingly doesn't mean much, and then like make it mean something in the next season. Mm-hmm. It's really interesting the way they do that.
Well, and it's a the way they do that teaser, it's a gender-flipped usage of moving stereo.
Yeah.
The very iconic scene everyone remembers from Fast Times.
Yes.
And it's all the moms of Hawkins who are getting wet outside the pool.
Yeah, they are.
Watching Billy, lifeguard hot Billy, saunter by. And it's, yeah, I mean, it may not amount to anything other than just to kind of say, hey, we're back. Remember these characters?
Right.
But I thought it was pretty well done.
Yeah, I enjoyed it a lot. Oh my gosh, what else? So Billy, like in watching this trailer from season 3 that I just fucking watched like 2 minutes before we started this. Mm-hmm. It looks like the dark forces there are going to use him in some way.
I don't have a theory, but I kind of read a theory.
What do you think?
So, okay. Have you seen... Now we're getting to the point where it's potentially spoiler territory to even talk about previews because people are funny about that. So, if you don't even want to know what we've seen in previews for season 3, I guess stop listening. I don't know what else to say.
Don't stop listening. Good.
No, God. I mean, it's seriously just our theories and stuff, so nah.
Yeah, I mean, none of this is, you know.
Well, it's based on something that was in, I think, the first preview, the teaser preview that dropped earlier this year, where they show, like, kind of briefly, it was like a money shot of, here's kind of a new monster. Is it the new monster of the season? Don't know. Kind of way it was presented looked like a big deal, right?
Right.
I want to say I read somewhere, it was theorized that that monster was going to be like one of the human characters transformed in some way.
Right.
And I've heard it speculated it might be Billy. So almost like a takeoff on The Fly, which very iconic 80s movie that they have not paid tribute to my knowledge so far on Stranger Things, but would make a lot of sense, to go there. You know, it's body horror. I have to say kind of my favorite subgenre of,
yeah.
One of my all-time favorite films too. So if they did do that, I would definitely be down for that, big time.
Yeah, that was evident. One of the theories I read as well was that he would be the big bad because, you know, the Upside Down was using him.
I love that idea.
I think it'd be great.
I fucking hope they do that. Because he... you could just hate him so much, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Right, everybody hates him, basically.
Yeah. I don't know. There's so much they could do there.
Yeah.
So we have...
Because you don't want it to be someone you actually like.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Suffers this world.
And then, but like, Max will probably... I mean, I know she probably hates him, but it will be some sort of, like, conflict with Max, given that he's her stepbrother or whatever.
Yeah, she may not be down for watching him turn into a hideous slime monster.
Right, yeah. So there's that. And then, of course, him and Steve had this huge scuffle in, actually, it's a fucking beatdown is what it is, in season two. So, still lots of, probably, animosity there. I don't know. I like it. I hope that's what they do.
I know. It's one of those things where I have to sort of tell myself not to be disappointed if that's not what they do.
Yes.
Right.
Because you never want to hold your hopes on fan theories. Ooh, they didn't do it. It sucks. You know?
Another thing that I want to see, which I did want to see in this season until there was Bob, but I'm going to need Hopper and Joyce to hook up.
That's actually one of the theories, is that they still do not get together.
Good God. Hmm. Why?
Jeez. That's the real will they or won't they.
It
like,
is.
They did Nancy and Jonathan, and I kind of felt like they did pay that off too early, but Joyce and Hopper, man, guys, give it to us.
They gotta.
Well, and the speculation behind the reason that they won't is that in the trailer, it shows Hopper telling Joyce he wants her to feel safe, and then the trailer continues, Hopper's sitting alone in a restaurant, and Joyce is eating alone at home. So it leads people to kind of wonder, like, did he ask her on a date? Did she stand him up? Did they not even go there? That the general overall feeling from the several articles I read is that this is still going to be a will they, won't they roller coaster. And maybe that's why they won't yet, is because they're not ready to give us it. I don't know.
Well, I feel like the kids are at this weird age to where this might be the last season. I could see them closing with this season. And like, do you want to stretch it out to another fourth season? I don't know. Because, you know, all the actors are going to be moving on, you know, and they can't.
They're going to be in fucking college if they take another break like they did between.
Right. So you can't keep that same, like, Spielberg-y thing that they've got going on with the youth, you know, to a fourth season. I don't know. I'll be interested to see how they do that. But I'm going to need some closure on that Joyce thing for sure.
Oh, yeah. For that question.
Okay, so that just made me think of something kind of crazy.
Okay.
Not crazy, it's just I can't believe I'm even saying it, but I think, Jenny, you have a good point in that they can't keep doing this indefinitely. Mm. As much as we do love these characters and love the setting, there are practical and plot limitations.
Right.
To the series. But having said that, I can't believe I'm going there. But it's type of thing where they could almost, this type of thing where they could almost pull off a time jump.
They could.
And it would actually make sense.
Yep.
Because I think in most series, when you do that, it's such a shortcut. When it's done bad, it's just done as a shortcut. It's like I call it a get-out-of-jail-free card because you don't want to deal with the ramifications of the story that you set up, writers. Mm-hmm. But here, I mean, just given the nature of this show, it's a period piece. It's heavily invested in these childhood friendships. So you almost want to track those characters over time, mm-hmm. even if they aren't necessarily going to be the same actors. And as much as I'd hate to lose these actors, if you want to continue following these relationships and telling this story such as it is, you could try it. Like, try doing a 90s setting.
Like an adult?
Yeah.
Well,
like an It thing. Like what they're doing with It.
Basically, yeah.
Huh.
Glad you said that, because that brings up two of the other theories that a lot of fans have put out there. Mm. And one is that you're talking about people, like, leaving or dying. One is that Steve's going to die.
Oh, God.
Oh, no.
Because they're thinking his character made such huge leaps and bounds and everybody loved him so much in two, that wouldn't that make a big punch, you know, that gut punch in three if we lost him?
Like if he sacrificed himself in some way.
Right. Or you know, no one has given a theory of how. There's just a lot of speculation, too.
What if he sacrifices himself for Dustin?
Mm.
Oh, I will be a mess.
So they had
They
had a poll of the "Do you think Steve will die in season 3?" That went with this theory that someone else had put up in the article, and 16% of people said yes, the character served his purpose. And I was like, "Who the fuck are these 16%? I'm gonna Liam Neeson their asses." And then 84.
I mean, what does that even mean? I mean, served his purpose.
I don't know what exactly
serves a purpose. It's like, sort of.
What is serve the purpose? Yeah, I'm with you. But 84% said no, protect Steve at all costs.
Yes. Any other death predictions?
Well, to go along with what he said, because you were talking about going into the future, right?
Sure.
So there is another theory that technically all of this that has come from the upside down is a form of a zombie infection. And this actually comes from a Reddit theory that spilled off into, like, another Reddit theory. So it's this theory that everything from the upside down from season 3, its primary evidence, apparently they're, quote, they're citing The Bight and the Battle of Starport, which are the names of two of the episodes. I don't know where in place that they are. It says we've seen Demogorgons and Demagogues use their teeth to kill people, but the show hasn't emphasized the physical bite until now, like seeing what we've seen in the trailer. Mm-hmm. So they're saying that because of that, the Upside Down is actually the future.
Oh.
Because of the zombie infection.
Oh, I see what you're saying. It's the future state of what happens to the world. That's basically the world is this wasteland that's just inhabited by these horrible creatures.
I don't know. I feel like all of our evidence thus far has been like mostly in the interdimensional realm and not the time realm, if that makes
sense. Time-space realm?
Yeah. Like a physical place, not...
I'm trying to think if there's anything that directly contradicts it, necessarily. I mean, we've seen...
Well, she's in
the
a
Upside
physical...
Down's...
Yeah, still like, has, she, like same... knits up the actual, like, doorway, you know, at the end of season two. Like, she closes it, so it's... I don't know.
But maybe it's like a time portal kind of thing.
Oh, well, maybe.
According to this theory. The Bight is episode 7 of season 3, penultimate episode. And then the Battle of Starcourt is episode 8. So Starcourt, I take it as the mall, most
it
likely.
It's probably, yeah.
Seen
the other theory team. Is that that's where it's all going to go down. But
yeah,
also
that would make
more than it appears. There's like some whole big theories about what the Starcourt Mall actually is. Because it's this new giant sparkly shopping complex.
Mm-hmm.
But to go with those, they're also thinking that its newest establishment is actually like an extension of Lynx Corp.
I feel like it's almost a given that they have to have this mall showdown just because that's such a staple of, you know,
right.
Zombie movies now.
Yeah.
Especially in the 80s. It's like everybody ends up at the mall and you
right.
have to barricade yourself and fight the zombies. So, I mean, that would play into the whole people getting bit by demodogs, demogorgons, whatever, turning into zombies or zombie-like, and you do a takeoff on that.
Right.
So maybe this creature, this monster that we saw is just one of many that we'll be battling throughout the season.
Right.
All right.
Well, I mean, there's rats and rodents all over the tree. The trailer.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't know if I saw that one.
It's one of the teaser trailers for season 3. There's rats kind of running around everywhere. And, you know, one of the episodes we just mentioned, it's called The Bight.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Oh, another episode from the season is called The Mall Rats.
Oh.
Yep. Second episode.
Any other theories?
The Case of the Missing Lifeguard, episode 3.
Ooh. Mm-hmm.
Susie, do you copy?
Yeah,
is
that's the first.
That Billy and Max's mother's name?
Is it?
Oh, is it?
Her name's Susan.
Huh.
Susan, Susie.
Okay,
otherwise,
I would not
who
have
the
put that together. Would not.
I didn't even know that was her name.
Well, we've got a mayor character coming into the picture who's going to be played by Carrie
Elway?
From Princess Diaries.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, shit, really?
And there's a theory about this mayor as well.
What is that?
So a lot of people believe that Dr. Brenner, who is responsible for raising 11, you know, opening the gateway, they don't think he's dead. And remember, he was, like, maimed. We do know that. He was attacked. But so there's these rumors that he's actually still alive and that he's had surgery to disguise himself and he is the mayor. I don't know how far-fetched that is.
pretty far fetched.
How much did the plastic surgery cost, brother?
You never know, though.
I don't know about this.
Stranger things have happened.
Good lord.
It's safe to say the wheel is probably in trouble again.
See, I don't know. I'm kind of ready for Will to just be one of the kids.
Yeah, like, leave Will alone. He's been through enough.
Can we please let Will have a good day?
Because the child's never going to have a normal life. I mean, he's always going to be fucked up.
Yeah.
He's going to get into cocaine later in the 80s. It's going to be rough on poor Will.
That's right. In the 80s and the 90s, he's going to have a heroin phase. That's all you got to do is jump.
I mean, how else are you going to get through it? Like, exactly. Healthy, like, therapy and, like,
That shit don't work.
It's the 90s. That's not what happens.
Nobody does that. Now I want the time jump with the older kids and, like, Will being all strung out and, like,
you got to figure there's going to be some dark periods ahead for some of these guys.
For
just
sure.
Statistically speaking.
Kind of is a time jump. Kind of. In the sense that they're all getting older and they're not hiding that, which is great.
Right. True.
I want Nancy to have a girl named Barb and to be like a bored housewife like her mom.
Jeez. That'd be depressing.
That will be.
But not outside of the realm of possibility. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. With Will, it's just sort of like he's spent the last two seasons being a character that he's just had things happen to him rather than being a participant and, having some kind of agency here. So let's make him more than a plot device, He had a lot more to do in the second season. That was great, but
right.
I'm not really looking forward to more scenes of him unconscious as people react to stuff around him,
Right.
But he is really good at being scared. I mean,
he is. Like, I mean, be scared all day long, but I mean, so at least be conscious while it's happening.
Yeah, that's true. And maybe give him a better haircut than that horrendous bull.
All of them, they're all of their haircuts. Like, if you see them normal everyday kids, you're like, that doesn't, almost does not even look like you because your haircut is just so horrible in the show.
That's funny.
But again, that was the style. That was the,
Oh, yeah. If it's.
They have had a quote that says that this is our most fun season, and it also turns out to be their grossest season.
Ooh.
And they've been inspired by John Carpenter's The Thing.
The Thing.
I can work with that.
All
right. So they have a little bit of a George Romero vibe in there as well.
Hmm. See? That's what I'm saying. These zombies in the mall.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
You don't like it, Jenny?
I still would rather it not be zombies, if I'm being honest. I would rather it just be, like, other dimensional creatures. And
well, the
like
Night
an alternate reality
gone.
Sort of thing.
I get what you're saying.
I would just rather it not be zombies.
Right. I'm thinking more the zombie trope of people having to fight off whatever it is in the mall, but they're not literal. Zombies.
Yeah, I
would not want to see literal zombies either.
I know Jenny. You and I talked about this before. A little hidden gem was Lucas's little sister, Erica.
Oh yes.
So, one of the Duffer brothers sat down for an article with Yahoo, and he told him that this kind of plays into the we were talking earlier about how they probably don't plan things to happen. And he was saying one of the fun things about the show is you discover stuff while you're filming. And he found her gif-able, and he said, is that even a word? He thought she was very gif-able and that she was really great. And so we are getting more Erica in season 3.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, she was super cute and funny.
She was cute.
Setting up the romance between the He-Man and the Barbie doll.
Yes.
They're in love. They're not even from the same planet.
All right. What else? Anything else we want to talk about? Season 3?
Overall, I'm looking forward to seeing if some of these theories fit into play based on all the different articles and interviews that have been done. Where they fall short, where they fall into place, how that all works out. Overall, I am kind of excited, much like we did with the Harry Potter kids. We're, you know, I mentioned a moment ago, we're watching them actually grow.
Yep.
And so I am kind of excited about that. I don't like the 2-year break that we took versus the 1 year, but maybe that pays off in the end because we are allowing these kids to have time to, you know, grow and mature. And so each season is going to be, you know, a little bit better and a little bit different because we are physically watching them, you know, their character and their person, you know, grow up.
Agreed.
I almost think that they know this is getting a summer release. It takes place, I think it's been confirmed already, it takes place during the summer, like everybody's on summer break out of school. Mm-hmm. And with that in mind, you almost don't want to put something out there too heavy for somebody's 4th of July weekend / holiday.
I think it is 4th of July. Like, it's released 4th of July, but I think it is 4th of July for them as well in the show.
I think it is, yeah. I mean, at least, you know, it's a summertime setting, and we're going to be watching it in the summer. Everybody's going to binge watch it. The day it comes, of course. So, I think there's something to that quote that you read earlier, Miranda, about how it's the funnest, it's going to be the funnest season, but also the grossest. I think you can get away with gross if you aren't being super heavy and depressing about it at the same time. So that's why I'm like, I don't see him like killing a major character. That just, that would be so out of nowhere. I mean, yeah. I guess they could do it. They could pull it off, but would feel like a miscalculation. You know, you do that when people are going into the fall, winter months and feel depressed and are ready to consume some depressing media. I mean, I hate to say it, but that's,
well,
you know.
I mean, like, if they killed Nancy, that would be very uplifting for most people.
Okay, well, I don't think it'd be that uplifting, but I mean,
it would, but like, I mean, I wouldn't be depressed, for sure.
Well,
that sounds like some summertime fun. Me.
Oh my god.
Watching Nancy die. Let's do that.
I ain't gonna have it. Like,
you're ridiculous.
Yep. I am. All right. What else? Anything? No?
Too soon to tell on anything else.
Yep. Mm-hmm. All right.
Yep. Yeah. We'll know real soon here.
Yeah. Well, that brings us to, so we didn't do any of our other segments. We cannot not do an episode of Geek and Sassy without our favorite segment.
Reading and watching?
Well.
Reading and watching.
You guys are crazy. No, sir. Special guest Tim. That would be Nerd Eye Candy of the moment.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Fuck, Marry, Kill.
We could do Stranger Things Fuck, Marry, Kill, but that might get a little...
I think that might be inappropriate.
I can't.
Y'all are no fun. What the hell?
We already know who you're going to kill anyway. We already know who you're going to fuck and who you're going to marry.
Well, I'm just transparent then, I guess.
Well, I don't know. Maybe the Mary one I'm not certain on, but I definitely know who you're going to kill and who you're going to fuck.
Okay. Fair enough. I'm going to fuck Mr. Wheeler and marry
Mr. Wheeler. Dumb sitcom dad.
And his fucking lazy boy.
Hey, you don't know. Maybe that's why she's still with him. Maybe he's real good at it.
Yes, I would imagine that's the reason. Oh, my God.
You're going to have to do all the work there.
Yeah, well... When don't I?
Quite frankly.
Tim, do you have a nerd eye candy?
Yeah, you're supposed to go first.
So we mentioned AEW's Fighter Fest earlier in the live read, coming back from our break, and I don't know if there was a ton of eye candy on that particular show, although my betrothed does remain.
Yes.
I mean, let's face it. That goes without saying, though. I was a little disappointed that my current wrestling crush, Sammy Guevara, was not on that particular event.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess that gives me something to look forward to. So, yeah, that's my latest. What else? Do we have any other crushes currently? Nerd Eye Candy.
Well, recently I was listening to one of my favorite podcasts. It is called the No Sleep Podcast, and they got a celebrity to read one of their stories. And I was like, wow, this is an amazing get. Way to go, No Sleep. And so Elijah Wood was who they got.
Oh, yes. That's not bad.
Yeah.
That's not bad.
I'm here for it.
And he did a really good job in the story. And I was like, you know who's super cute? Elijah Wood. I mean, like,
yeah.
All the way back to, like, the faculty and, like, even younger, really, but
he's a good pick too because he seems like such a weirdo.
Yeah,
but he's kind super of fun weird. And endearing at yeah. the same time.
I could see like really having fun with him, like mm-hmm. even just doing nothing, just talking. It seems like he would have lots of great stories and be like really engaging to talk to you, and also look out because he's pretty cute.
Not
and
bad.
He never ages like Paul Rudd-esque. He looks the same.
Right. Very good.
Where you at, Miranda? Who you got?
So I, after like forever, joined the Outlander gang.
Did you now?
I did now.
Wow.
Ladies and gentlemen. Which right. I think I've talked about before. I've tried to read the books. I've read one and two. One, I finished the book. Because we've had this whole discussion of Miranda putting down books and there's only ever one that I did not finish. But I finished it, but it lost me, like, mm-hmm. interest-wise, which mm-hmm. Outlander is usually in my wheelhouse of real weed. But I started a show, because everybody's like, look, even if you didn't like the books, the show is fantastic. You gotta watch it. So, one, Sam Hugan, that plays Jamie on Outlander. Oh, dear sweet baby Jesus.
Yeah, that's
the man. And I don't normally dig long hair, but like even when his hair's like all over his face and like I'm like, I'm here for this.
He's like a different level of hot. He's like,
yes, he is.
It's almost unbelievable. You know, you're like, what? How does this person exist? Legit,
right? I think I figured out something because you all the time point out how I have a type.
Yes.
It's a chiseled jaw.
Mm.
Look at it. Everybody I pick, it's a chiseled jaw.
He does have quite a jawline.
It's the jawline. They gotta have
so you a like jawline. A jaw that you could cut grass.
I with. Like a jawline, man. Don't know what it is.
Interesting.
But this man is just a specimen to behold, and why did we not get more of him before Outlander? Like, where has he been?
Yes, he needs to be a superhero. For sure.
I am here for that. I just don't know which one.
I'm sure we could find one.
I'm sure we could find one for him. I mean, isn't Batman up for grabs? I mean.
Oh.
There's a jawline. I mean.
I think that role's been taken there, actually.
It has.
Oh, my God, Jenny.
What?
We forgot our mutual, I don't know, nerd so much as eye candy, but hello, Ricochet.
Oh my god.
Well, they don't have to be the person does not have to be a nerd. It's that you are
a nerd for them.
A nerd for them.
Yeah. Well.
Yeah.
It counts.
He turned us out, man.
I mean, I saw some interesting footage of Ricochet in the past week or so.
There is some interesting footage of NXT. Well, now I guess Raw. main roster wrestler Ricochet.
Yeah.
Easy to say.
Yeah, I mean, if you're interested in that, you could just like what? I don't know how you found that by nefarious means. I'm sure, Tim. You can Google it probably at this point.
I'm sure it's not hard to find
video
what we're talking
that.
About. And I'm sorry that all of my nerd eye candy selections are wrestlers, but it is what it is right now.
It totally counts. 100%. Never apologize for nerd eye candy.
Oh, wait. I thought I don't have one yet, but we also started, this is inappropriate, but we started watching the show Euphoria on HBO.
Yeah.
Don't really have anyone picked out from that as such, but
Zendaya,
I feel like it's
type
of thing that's...
I don't know. I can't say that about her because I started watching her with Kaden on the Disney Channel, and so in my brain, she's still Disney Channel.
No, she's grown up.
I know she has, but like, yeah.
I feel so bad for her sister. G is a sweetheart. She deserved better than this garbage shit sister. Mm-hmm. Although I love Zendaya. I love that character a lot.
Oh my god, so much. Okay, anyway, that'll get us down another rabbit hole. Who did you want to see from that show that was hot? Did you pick somebody?
I don't have a specific person picked out.
Oh, McSteamy's on that show. You gotta pick him.
Oh, right. Yeah. Shit, what's the Eric Dane?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Isn't he a trash person? But, like, that's okay, though.
Yeah, he is. Well, that's the thing. A lot of those characters are trash people.
Yeah.
Sorry. But.
They can still, like.
That's, you know.
Yeah. Whatever.
It's nerd eye.
I'm a trash person.
It ain't,
and everybody's listening.
It ain't nerd mind candy. Come on.
You're right.
It's McSteamy. So, to end us out here, who would you rather have as your dad, Steve or Hopper?
Daddy Hopper, for sure.
Well, non-sexual Jen.
No, they're no. She doesn't exist. Who are you talking to?
Oh my god!
Can I have both? Why not both?
I mean, two dads is a thing.
Sure is.
Sure is. You know what? Yeah, because you got gruff and mean, and then you got nurturing and caring.
Wasn't Stranger Things actor Paul Reiser on the show My Two Dads? Remember that show?
I would have to look that up to be. I couldn't tell you.
No, I just,
Paul Reiser
know,
can
I'm
be my daddy
right
too.
Now. My Two Dads, starring Jennifer Smith.
Yes,
no.
You were correct. Way to go.
Yep, Paul Reiser. There
you
go. Still
first,
got it.
First circle
who was
there.
The other? Okay, so he was one of the dads. Who was the other one?
The other dad would be...
Greg Evigan. Who's Greg Evigan?
You sure that was a dad?
He looks like a dad.
He looks like a dad.
Y'all are mispronouncing daddy.
Yeah, he was like the... kind of a bear daddy.
Thank you.
Dick Buckus was on the show. Oh, Lord.
Yeah, Greg Evigan. I don't know who that is, but he was the other dad.
You don't know who it what is?
The actor, the other dad was played by someone
Greg,
called...
Oh, Greg Evigan?
Greg. Yeah.
Too funny, Rizmi was on this show. Huh!
Okay.
Interesting.
All right, from Stranger Things to My Two Dads. I did not expect this to go this way, but... Here we are. All right, let's wrap this up.
Giovanni Ribisi was on here.
I just said that!
I didn't hear you.
He's not, like, he checked out. He's like...
No, I'm with you now.
Who these dads are. I didn't hear you.
Timothy, right. Is there anything that you would like to promote?
I star on the sitcom My Two Dads on USA.
Daddies! God!
You and I,
four daddies on the Marvel Age.
Oh my god.
Well, speaking of dads and speaking of wrestling, Jenny, you and I have a wrestling podcast coming up. It is called Talking WCW.
Yep.
And we are going to sit down with Greg Phillips, our third man in the booth. We're going to talk some War Games matches.
Sweet.
We have each, the three of us, chosen a War Games match. And that's what we're going to cover on our next episode. So, that on the Place We Nation wrestling feed. Here on Place We Nation, the aforementioned Marvel Age podcast, I am one quarter of that panel. Like I said, we've got our second installment of 1970 Juan coming up. And, yeah, look for that later this month in July on the Pop feed. That
awesome.
Should do it.
And also, you are on the Twitter?
I am on the Twitter. That's the best social media outlet to find me on. I am at Cyke68, C-Y-K-E-6-8, on the Twitter machine. Thank you.
You're welcome. As for me, we talked about my Crockett Cup pod, so if you like wrestling, check that out. And I don't currently have a new Freak Out Drive-In yet, but I have an idea for that.
I do too.
Oh, yeah. And something that I've been doing every week now is doing the weekend playlist on PTBN.com, PlaceToBeNation.com. And so you can, every Friday, you can check that out. And it's just like a short playlist, like 16 songs that we pick out and put on the internet and on Spotify and on Apple Music and on YouTube. So
it's a conglomeration of several people, so it's really cool. You get an eclectic little feel of Place to Be Nation there.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Miranda, what about you? Oh, also Twitter, Jenny Cruz 2814. All right, Miranda.
I
love it.
I know, right? She cracks me up. I think the only most recent venture I have in the podcasting world is a couple of guest jaunts with good old Andy over there.
Mm-hmm.
And we have some more of those coming up, willing my jaw permits that.
Yes.
Finally, we'll be scheduled for surgery. It is in August. So trying to get you guys as much as I can before the world gets their wish and Miranda can't talk. Other than that, I'm just kind of behind the scenes over here tweeting and Instagramming. Not really recording much lately, but I'm always on Instagram far more than anywhere else. It's at Mom's a Nerd. If you can't find me that way because sometimes it doesn't pull up, it's super easy. Just go to Ed Geek and Sassy Instagram, and you can find both Jenny and I linked properly from there.
And Geek and Sassy is on Twitter as well, at Geek and Sassy.
Facebook.
All right, and Facebook. Yes, always forget that, don't I? All right, don't forget to vote in the polls for the greatest 80s song tournament. And vote for those daily. And all right, that's it. Thank you for listening.
Thank you for having me, guys.